the flows of the river of time go inexorably, quickly, fast, almost instantly. So at 1 minute, we're celebrating Advent. The other, we're celebrating the birth of the Messiah. Then the presentation, which we just did 2 weeks ago, gloriously and beautifully. And now already we begin on this Sunday, Septuagesima Sunday. As I mentioned to you last week, this goes back to the time of Pope St. Gregory the Great. And the Greeks were bragging that they were doing more penance than the Romans. He said, okay, we are going to do penance too. So he added several weeks, Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, before the beginning of Quadragesima on Ash Wednesday. So 3 more weeks of penance, even though not as severe or as strict as Quadragesima. And so today we begin this wonderful and holy season. And of course that reminds us that we need already to start doing penance and preparing our more severe and stricter penances for Quadragesima, for Lent, as we say in English. And of course all the languages for the most part follow Quadragesima. English and German follow Lent. Either way, we are celebrating this Sunday in which the Alleluia is buried and is not to be said during the liturgy. And in many places in the world, from the time all through the Middle Ages and until recently, perhaps some have returned to that custom, a very holy custom. The word Alleluia was written on a beautiful manuscript and rolled up and put in a cylinder, and it was buried in the parish cemetery. Of course, most parishes in this country do not have cemeteries, so we don't do that. But spiritually speaking, it should be buried. And now, of course, it should be buried in our hearts. And then, of course, we begin with slightly different, no more Gloria, unless it's a very special day. And there are many. It's not a closed chapter, that one. And then, of course, the beautiful readings that we have. Now, the Gospel of today, with which we are hopefully very familiar, affects many of us in different ways. The master who went out to get laborers for his vineyard. Some he got at 9, then at 11, then at 12, and then finally at 5 o'clock. And then it was time to close. And so the ones who were hired at 9 thought, oh, we're going to get a much bigger pay than the others. And sometimes, you know, of course, this is pride. It's not justice, it's pride. Sometimes we in the spiritual life do the same thing. Especially those of us who have been Catholic and practicing the Holy Catholic faith since birth. And this is not always the case. However, it does mean that if we have more time, then we should have more penance and be holier. But that's not always the case. And then the ones who came in last, received the same thing. And everybody wondered, what is this? And the master goes out, I did not steal from you. Why are you angry at my generosity? And that is the way God is. God's generosity, first of all, is not to be questioned. It's His. He does whatever He wants. With what is his, as he asked this last laborer. But on the other hand, no matter what he gives us, it's more than we deserve. And in this life, we don't only get, there's no pay per se, it is the indulgences and the graces that we receive. And we have a say-so in that, as we know here in the Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, where we have so many days where we can receive a plenary indulgence. I think, however, I would like to spend a couple of more minutes on the first reading the epistle of Blessed Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. And he's reminding us, you know, those who run the race, they discipline themselves in all sorts of ways. This for a physical crown that is thrown away. Of course, in those days, it was a crown of laurels, just as we see on the stations of the cross. The crown of thorns and underneath, the crown of laurels. In a day or so, it was dry and it fell apart and you couldn't keep it. The same thing with the things of this world. It dries up and you can't keep it. Now, the crown that Christ gives to us, the crown for which we ought to struggle and fight and suffer, I hope, is that crown which does not wither, does not fade, does not fall apart. And so our Lord, through St. Paul, reminds us, this is that for which you must struggle and fight and do penance. And so we begin this season of penance. And that's what we are doing penance for. We are not doing penance because we want other people to know we are doing penance. Though evangelization is very important, but we need to be very careful when we evangelize that we're not doing it so that others can see how holy we are and how wonderful we are. Who cares what other people think? We only care about what he thinks. And he is the one who knows. He knows our good things. He knows our bad things. He knows how we have obeyed him. He knows how we have disobeyed him. And of course, this is what we need to concentrate on, that we obey him and do it for the love of him who has come to save us, who has come to suffer from the cradle to the grave. And that's one of the things about the Catholic faith that I always remind people. The Catholic faith is with us from cradle to coffin. And that is the way it's supposed to be. Neither one is better, neither one is worse. If we do not die, then we cannot go to heaven. We cannot go to purgatory, whether it's short or long. And we know well, from knowing some of you, that your purgatory will be millions of years. We know well, from what we know, that some of us, hopefully I, can go straight. And of course, you know, those of you who were anointed last week with the sacrament of unction, which was never intended by our Lord nor St. James to be at the moment of death only. He says, those of you who are sick, call the priest and let them anoint him. And of course, some of us have been anointed so many times that when we die, we're going to just slide in like a very easy home run. And of course, we hope. We can always hope. But we hope that our prayers, our sacrifices, our penances, which we all need to do, it doesn't matter who it is, our penances and sacrifices and prayers will enable us to get the oil of gladness, the oil of the indulgences and graces that he brings to us. Just as the Hebrews in the Exodus, they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. And of course, we always think about the rock as being St. Peter. He's also rock because he is the image and the representative on this earth of Christ, who is the rock, who is the head in heaven of the Holy Church. But we also see both rocks, and we pray for the rock on earth, and we pray for the successor to be a good and holy and strong rock that will liberate, for one thing, the traditional mass of the ages from the shackles which now bind it and have held it bound for over 40 years. But also we pray for us to follow, to love, to adore and worship the true rock, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And so as we begin this season of Lent with Septuagesima Sunday and continue to traverse it in one way or the other, then we pray for the holiness that is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. If you do not have grace in your souls at the moment of your death, you will not go to heaven. You will not go to purgatory. You will go straight and directly to hell. Remember that, because most people today do not teach that, do not preach that. Some of them don't believe it. And they will find out, because not to believe that is in itself a mortal sin. And those who are in a state of mortal sin will be damned for eternity. So let's take advantage of this new season that the Church gives to us as we prepare with Christ our Lord to suffer, to go the way of the cross, to die, and hopefully to rise to eternal glory with Him, the Rock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.